yeah, the concept of low stress people handling is obviously based around Temple Grandin's work. And Dr. Temple Grandin obviously developing those concepts of low stress cattle handling. And it's the, I think the big benefit of low stress people handling is that it's comfortable for people in ag. It's something, low stress cattle handling is something that we all know. It's something that we can achieve every day. It's the standard in how we handle livestock. And the concepts are very transferable to our people.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Give your cattle platinum protection with Virbac Bovagen Platinum Vaccines. Start your protection at us.virbac.com/platinum protection. Data shows most cattle don't get enough vitamin D, which can impact health and performance. High D from DSM Firmenich can help improve cattle's vitamin D status. Be proactive with Cattle Active. Visit proearthanimalhealth.com today. Lalamond Animal Nutrition offers microbial solutions to boost animal welfare and performance.
Welcome to the Beef Podcast. I'm Travis Molinix, and today I have Ashley Nichols with me. Welcome to the show, Ashley.
Thanks for having me, Travis.
So, Ashley, you are the founder and lead facilitator of Reach Agriculture Strategies. So for the audience, tell us, what is Reach Agriculture Strategies?
Yeah, so Reach Ag is the brainchild of my experience in the beef industry. And what we provide is communication training and agricultural efficiencies developments with ag operations. So we're talking about team building, we're doing onboarding, we're doing training, making sure that the org chart makes sense, the job descriptions make sense, and working with operations to implement some of those human background systems.
So really interesting stuff. And you think about, you know, there's a lot of other industries that have this, right? And from an agriculture, you don't necessarily think about some of these organizations needing some of these help with efficiencies.
Yeah, I think like industry-wise, nothing that I'm doing is super revolutionary as far as the world is concerned. You know, there is endless amounts of business coaches and all sorts of things in kind of the corporate side of life. But I think in ag, for the longest time, we really relied on our values and our family connections and our history. But unfortunately, with changes in economics, with changes in generations, we can't rely on those things as strongly as we used to. So it's becoming more important to be able to develop some of these systems and align ourselves a little bit more with the outside world.
So who's your general clientele that you're working with?
Yeah, my general clientele right now that I'm working with is primarily in feedlots. I've set up my programs so that it is scalable, so that I can work with anyone from, you know, a 50,000 head feed yard down to a 50 head cow calf operation. So making sure that it is scalable, so that it does work for all sizes of operations, and within all areas of agriculture as well. I've started in the beef sector just because that's what I know most. But I definitely think it's important to make sure that, yeah, these things are scalable and we can branch out to different areas of the industry.
So you're located in Canada. Which part of Canada? Do you cover the whole country of Canada, or have you moved into the United States as well?
I haven't moved into the United States yet. It'd be interesting to see what that looks like over the next few months with recent events. But yeah, I'm primarily in Canada right now. I'm based out of Alberta, just outside of Calgary. So yeah, primarily in that kind of feedlot alley, they call it, from kind of Calgary down to Lethbridge in southern Alberta.
So we're going to talk about low stress people handling. And, you know, in ag, we think, especially in beef production, we think of low stress animal handling, and it's a little different. So it makes it a really interesting conversation of low stress people handling. How did this topic come about, and why is it interest for you?
Yeah. So there was kind of a few avenues. My background, when I originally came over, I'm originally from Australia. When I came over to Canada, I worked in a variety of summer camps in that kind of experiential education world, doing lots of team building with youth all the way through to adults. So came into the beef industry with a bit of a different perspective on things. I was a part of a program through the Canadian Cattle Association last year, and it's a mentorship program where they connect you with a mentor and you develop some goals and work with them to achieve those goals. And I had been at a conference where one of the people presenting was talking about cattle handling and how we interact as individuals, and he used the term low stress people handling, but he kind of used it as a throwaway term, and it really stuck with me. I went, hold up, there's something here. So I really leaned into that terminology, and from there, working with my mentor, Dr. Michelle Calvo-Lorenzo, she's a welfare specialist with Elanco. Working with her, we started talking about this low-stress people handling and what we could do with it. So it started as potentially doing an advocacy piece or something in that sort of space, working with youth. And my mother-in-law was very handy and gave me a bit of a nudge, bought me a business license and said, I think you can actually make a business out of this. So she kind of gave me the push, and we developed Reach from there. And yeah, the concept of low stress people handling is obviously based around Temple Grandin's work. Dr. Temple Grandin obviously developing those concepts of low stress cattle handling. And I think the big benefit of low stress people handling is that it's comfortable for people in ag. It's something, low stress cattle handling is something that we all know. It's something that we can achieve every day. It's the standard in how we handle livestock. And the concepts are very transferable to our people.
So Reach itself is a relatively new company, right? And so it was founded after going through this leadership, the conference or this leadership event that Michelle helps you with developing some of these ideas.
Yeah. So yeah, Reach was kind of born of that, and in a way to, it's nice to have a concept, but then what do you actually do with that concept? So that's where Reach comes in, and the idea is the kind of line that me and Michelle use is to make ag better. We want our operations to be easier places to work. We want them to be more welcoming to the outside world. Again, we talk about the Yellowstone effect and the effect of kind of country music coming back and cowboy is cool again. But how do we take advantage of that? And how do those people get a foot in the industry and get a foot in the door and be able to work with us? So by implementing some of those training programs, those good onboarding programs, making it easier and trying to reduce some of those roadblocks, I think we can really create some heavy change in the industry.
From a consumer standpoint or from just an overall within the industry standpoint?
I think a little bit of both. I think primarily from within the industry standpoint, the concepts around how we work with cattle and how we work with beef have changed drastically even over the last 5 years. But the implementation of technology and kind of the changes in the scalability of the beef industry, I think it means that we need to be able to utilize the people that are around us. And just because somebody hasn't been riding since they could walk, it doesn't mean they don't bring value to the industry. I think that there's coders, there's all sorts of people in the tech side of life that can really help us make a difference.
That's awesome. So what steps should a employer be taking to implement low-stress people handling?
There's a variety of concepts that I kind of lean into when I'm talking about low-stress people handling. Some of the big ones are looking at, people often turn, as far as talking about employee satisfaction, they'll turn to the monetary side of things. And I think it goes beyond that compensation piece, looking at your facilities, not only your handling facilities, but break rooms, offices, timesheets. Are all of those things usable? Are they serviceable? Are they comfortable places to be in? We spend a lot of time outside, and I know that there's not much worse than riding pens all morning and then coming into a cold barn and having to move a pile of garbage out of the way just to be able to take a seat. There's a lot of small things that we can do in our operations to create big change. that as well comes down. One of the big things I like to compare is the dead end in your chute. So they talk about when you're talking about developing handling facilities and designing handling facilities, we don't want a dead end to chute, right? Cattle need to see that curved chute. If they can see right to the end of it, they can see uncomfortable operations being done. They don't like to see that. So people are the same. When you dead end someone's career, it's not a super comfortable place to be. So implementing very straightforward things, giving people time to do continuing education, there's a huge opportunity for that in the ag world and specifically in beef. I spent a lot of time at conferences, and at those conferences, I spent a lot of time talking to people from industry, talking to veterinarians, talking to salesmen, all of those sorts of folk, but not a lot of time talking to cowboys, pen checkers, processes. And I think that it's a real missed opportunity to not be giving people those continuing education opportunities. The amount of benefit that you can gain sending someone to a conference, it'll cost you, you know, a little bit of money, it'll cost you a little bit of time. But if you can gain that person and really get them bought into your operation and having trust and faith in you, that has huge returns for your operation.
Yeah, it's what value do you bring outside of the paycheck? And so what value can you add to their lives outside of that monetary paycheck, which in ag industry is not always very, very high. And so what other values can we bring to the operations that make them feel like, you know, they want to be here, that adds value that they can grow into, et cetera. I think adds a big benefit of retaining those really good employees.
And yeah, I mean, turnover is obviously a huge issue in our industry. I think 20 years ago was a little bit different because if a cowboy left, a cowboy would show up. There was a lot more, there was a much bigger base of skilled hands to be able to pull from. That's not the case anymore. So we need to make sure that the people that we're getting have a reason to stay and want to stay. And that starts at day one. It starts at having a quality onboarding, making sure that people have a good understanding of what the operation looks like. And creating that training, making sure there's consistent skill level across the staff that you have and making sure that they're constantly developing that.
So through this process, are you working with the cowboy crews? Or are you working with the owners, the managers, the cow bosses?
Yeah, so I'm kind of working with everyone. So I take a little bit of a different approach. There's a lot of programs around there that are doing one-on-one training. And my kind of analogy for that is they take them out of the operation, they show them the light, and then they drop them back in the darkness and tell them to create change. But that's obviously a lot to expect of somebody to create change in their own operation, especially when it comes to family operations. So my goal is to work with the entire operation from top to bottom. It's a big job. It's a big ask, but I've had some real effect in there's a lot of stuff that a processor will notice that an owner will not. So I think it creates real value in being able to have conversations with everyone and understand what's happening. And at the end of the day, it flips the other way as well, so that the guy picking rocks is just as valued as the person running the operation. So it definitely goes in both directions.
Yeah, I think if you look at ranking, is if you go from the top end of leadership to to the pin riders, is you see a change in ranking of what is valued, and what do they see as value. And so if we just do it on the top end of leadership, it's not the same thing as what the pin riders or the guys on the lower end, would seem as or would say as value to them, that would add value to them to keep them there. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times we misinterpret and do things because leadership says this, but the cowboys say this.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, as a great example of that is recently I was chatting with an owner and he was telling me that they needed, we needed to look at the efficiencies of their pen riders. So how they go out in the morning, where they're, where they're entering the pens and looking at that sort of thing. And I chatted with the pen riders and they were all well and happy with how they were doing that. They just wanted an insulated barn. Cause it is cold up here. So, there's small things that can definitely create big change. A bit of insulation in the barn, you need a little less time to recover from being outside. You're going to get your job done a little bit better. That's going to affect the happiness of the employees. It's going to affect payroll. It's going to have positive effects all over the place.
No, that's a good example. So what kind of benefits are you seeing from utilizing some of these low stress and or people handling? I still want to say animal handling, but people, low stress people handling.
I think one of the biggest benefits, and it's a pretty obvious one, but I think it needs to be pointed out, is people are happier. You know, we have a tough job. It's not easy going out there and checking pens. It's not easy going and pulling pairs and carving and doing night checks. Why would we do that and then be miserable when we're in the office as well? So I think that has been my biggest change that I've noticed, is that there's just a lot more happy employees and a lot more relaxed employees when they're working together. So the idea is that we develop a quality baseline for people to fall back to. If everyone has a good understanding of what's going on, if everyone has a good understanding of how they interact with each other and the different communication styles that they have, it really leads to a much more relaxed workplace. And when the inevitable does happen and something runs a gate, or, you know, something goes wrong and there's a wreck, people are much slower to react in kind of an aggressive, excited manner. And there's a lot more calm, relaxed attitudes around the place.
So what kind of challenges are you seeing to implementing some of these philosophies?
Yeah, I think the pretty obvious challenge is getting in the door. There's definitely a bit of an attitude in our industry that this is kind of the fluffy stuff, right? So I think that it's easy to say that it is just the fluffy stuff, but the reality is that it's uncomfortable. It's tough when somebody comes in and says, maybe you don't have the best attitude, maybe you need to treat your employees better. These things are pretty difficult to hear. But at the end of the day, they need to be said sometimes. So I think that has been one of the big challenges, is getting in the door and kind of getting that implementation. I will acknowledge, luckily, that I'm a large man with an accent who wears a cowboy hat. So when I walk in the door and I can actually kind of, I can walk the walk and talk the talk, it definitely helps the cause. But that has been one of the bigger challenges, is showing that there is value in this and showing that there's a need for this to happen.
So I'm assuming you're saying a guy that was in a business suit walks in wouldn't have the same impact as you coming in with some experience of you know, knowing what you're talking about and how some of these benefits would actually work.
Yeah, I think he'd definitely have some hurdles to jump over. That would be sure. That would be true. Yeah.
Are you seeing some even within your business are you seeing changes in how you see stuff as you progress with some of these? Or are you getting out some of these operations and you know, you think one way, but seeing how things work, because every operation is different. Every operation is built different. And so there's not one size fits all. And so I'm assuming you're evolving too with some of your concepts, since it's really early on in this process.
Yeah, it's definitely, again, there's been some eye-opening moments. And I think I kind of come in with a bit of a utopian view of we can all get along and things can be great and this is going to be easy. It never is. It's never as easy as you want it to be. So I think for me, the big learning has been to really kind of take some of those things in stride and understand that every operation is different, and that everyone does have different priorities. You know, at the end of the day, the person writing the paycheck kind of holds the cards in most areas. But when things are communicated effectively and when I can kind of get that message across in a way that benefits everyone, that's where the real value comes.
So are some of these things, Do the owners or the managers already know they need to make those changes and just need someone to help validate that? Or is this something that, you know, they don't even see themselves?
I think people are realizing that times are changing. They're just maybe not realizing how it is they need to get there. So yeah, that's definitely been another interesting piece, is sitting down with owners or managers and they're saying, we need help. And I say, okay, so where do we start? What do we need help with? And I generally have some ideas, but quite often they say, well, we don't know. And that's been a challenge too, is that I spend the first couple of months with an operation kind of doing some digging and trying to get to the bottom of what they need help with. And a lot of it comes down to, you know, having a misunderstanding of job tasks, a misunderstanding of roles, often there's breakdowns in communication because of all sorts of historical stuff that goes on. But I think people are beginning to realize that they need the change. They're just not quite sure what that looks like.
Are you saying, because, you know, agriculture is definitely an older demographic of the, those management, those leadership roles. Are you seeing some of those changes different from, you know, the age of where those managers or those owners are?
Yeah, there's definitely, with the generational shift, I mean, there's a lot of owners that are coming in, kind of that next generation over the last 5 to 10 years is really starting to step into things. So I think that that's where those people are starting to see the need for change. So it is interesting to get brought in by one generation and then discuss with, you know, two or three other generations as well. But I think that, again, the even people that are perhaps the narrative says that they aren't changeable and the old dog new tricks sort of thing, I think even those folks are starting to realize that things need to change, because the writing's on the wall, right? You can't, people aren't keeping staff. People aren't able to get staff. There's a huge labor gap in agriculture right now. And at the end of the day, you know, you can have all of the thoughts and feelings and opinions that you want when it's laid out in front of you and you don't have any employees. That's a pretty clear sign that we need to do something differently.
Yeah. And, you know, the generation deal is interesting, is a lot of times I think about, I went through this, or this is how we did this when I was that age. And, you know, it doesn't work that way. And you can't make good changes when your mindset is, this is how I did this, or this is how I went through this. And sometimes we get really stuck in that thinking of how we did it, or traditionally how we did it. And for, you know, newer generations are trying to grow, especially hiring people that may not even grew up in ag, that have interest coming back to ag and working in ag, that doesn't always work very well with some of those mindsets.
When I think too, I always really like to reiterate that I'm not coming in to change everything. You know, I firmly believe that, you know, there's all the talk about technology and AI and that sort of thing. You know, there's benefits there, 100%. Do I think that AI will ever replace a pen checker? I mean, there's probably somebody out there who's writing an algorithm for it, but I doubt it. Not in my lifetime anyway. You know, things move quick, but not that quick. So I think that, you know, with these changes coming in, if we have those high quality people, it's only going to give the good people opportunity to become even better. So embracing some of that change and utilizing the fact that, you know, if you're a part of that older generation that wasn't raised with computers and you were raised with, you know, with going out and writing everything down in a carving book and having everything in kind of basic handwritten spreadsheets, youth that are coming through today can code. They can do, you know, all sorts of super advanced work on computers. So utilize that and take advantage of that. And that's how we'll continue to grow as an industry.
Yeah. You know, the technology side, it just increases efficiencies. It's not about decreasing your labor force. It increases their efficiency as your labor force and their ability to do their job at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, when I write out and have use a software that's on my cell phone that can give me the treatment history of the cow that I'm looking at, and I'm, you know, 2 hours from the nearest house, horseback. I mean, that sentence doesn't make sense. It's such a wild concept, but man, it makes my job a whole lot easier.
Yep, it does. So to wrap us up, is there anything that you want to touch on that we didn't discuss?
Not particularly. I think kind of my biggest piece of advice, if I had to give, you know, an elevator pitch to someone, is to focus on communication in your operations. Have a little grace with the employees that you have coming in, be it newcomers to ag, newcomers to the country, or some of those old hands that are a little stuck in their ways. I think it will do us all well to have a bit of grace and just kind of take a bit of a breath and learn from each other.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, it's making sure everyone feels valued. And when they feel valued, you know, there's a big benefit to the operation of, you know, their workload, their work ethic, what they get done. And in a segment that people don't make a lot of money, the value part is very important.
Absolutely. I had a meeting with a group of managers and we did an exercise to break down the values of the organization. And one of those values was family. And I was a little nervous about that at first because, you know, there's that real thing in the corporate world where some executive will stand up and say, we're all family here. It's like, well, no, this is transactional. At the end of the day, I provide you a service and you pay me money. So I'm always a little nervous at that one. However, they completely flipped it on me and said that it's not about the family and them being a family in the workplace, but it's about them being able to get their job done, to provide economically for their family, to provide with time for their family. This particular operation, their boss was really good about, you know, if there's a school event or if they need to pick up kids, they can kind of come and go. And so, yeah, there's a real interesting viewpoint on what value is and what that actually looks like. So, yeah, embracing the future while also kind of acknowledging and respecting what that past is with the family values is huge. And yeah, continues to just increase value for the whole industry.
Well, Ashley, I think that's a good way to really wrap this up is there's definitely a big need in agriculture for that and of retaining those really good employees or developing really good employees is adding value and adding value not only to their lives, but their families' lives as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's time for our famous three.
Everyone knows vitamin D affects bone formation, immunity, and growth. What everyone doesn't know is research shows cattle don't get enough vitamin D. High D from DSM Firmenich optimizes health and growth with a more bioavailable form of vitamin D. And data shows high D fed heifers weighed over 8 pounds more at weaning. Don't let your cattle be vitamin deficient. Meet the growing needs of your herd year-round with high D. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/hy-d.
Well, Ashley, so we got three optional questions here. And the first one is, you know, what is your highly recommended beef resource? It could be book, website, whatever that you highly recommend someone in utilizing.
My go-to, and this is a really simple one that I think is overlooked by a lot of people that are kind of indentured in the agriculture world, is the BQA trainings, which are, you know, put on by the NCBA. It's a really simple resource. A lot of the information in there is quite basic. However, again, with the change in what's going on in our world right now, and the change of demographic coming into our industry, those BQA trainings have been huge to help train new staff. And if nothing else, make sure that you know that everyone at least has that base level of knowledge of what we're doing.
Oh, that's really important. And BQA is a great resource for not only feedlot, but cow-calf producers as well.
Absolutely.
So what is a non-ag, non-beef book that you highly recommend someone reading, especially when we're talking about some of these issues of adding value, low stress, people handling, etc.?
So this one's a little bit left wing. So I was born and raised playing rugby coming from Australia. And this one, it's a funny one because then it goes even more left field. And it's actually a book about the New Zealand All Blacks, which is my traditional mortal enemy. So it's a book called Legacy. And in this book, the author breaks down the 15 main rules and tenets that the All Blacks follow. And the All Blacks, for those who maybe aren't as familiar with rugby, are the most successful, statistically, the most successful professional sports team in history. They have something like an 86% win rate since 1901. Like it's crazy. They're up there with, you know, the Bulls and the Patriots and, probably even more successful. So yeah, they have a really strong culture. They lean back into that Maori culture, that Polynesian culture, and, they have 15 tenets that they follow that I use all of the time. My rugby coach actually introduced me to this book. Our team uses it. It's been very successful. And I definitely encourage all of the people that I work with to read that book.
I have to look that one up. So lastly, what, in your opinion, sets apart a highly successful beef professional from someone that isn't?
This is a big question, but I think for me, it comes down to connection. If you're able to walk into a room and connect with anyone in that room, that's where the real value comes. You know, there's people that are sometimes really good at connecting with veterinarians, but maybe not so good at connecting with pen checkers. And they're really good at connecting with salesmen, but not so good at connecting with research extension specialists. If you can take the time and learn how to identify with everyone in a room. And again, that's a long-term kind of a learned skill, but having those soft skills and being able to develop that connection with people really sets individuals apart. And, you know, I think everyone can think of a few people that, you know, that when they walk into a room, it's not necessarily about how they walk in and like hold court, but it's more about how they walk in and can connect with anyone in that room.
You know, the benefit of networking and being able to build, you know, those relationships that can truly help you, you know, whether or not you're in ag or not in ag, of building your business or whatever you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Ashley, thanks again. Really enjoyed it. Got some really interesting things going on with Reach. Looking forward to seeing what you do and, you know, the impact that you're going to have in the ag space.
Awesome. I really appreciate you taking the time and yeah, feel free to reach out if anyone wants to know more about low stress people handling.
All right. Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.